Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, verses 3 to 10. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything.
日本語でお読みします。第2コリント人への手、コリント人への手紙、6章3節から10節までお読みします。私たちは、この務めがそしられないために、どんなことにも人につまずきを与えないようにと、あらゆることにおいて、自分を神のしもべとして推薦しているのです。すなわち非常な忍耐と悩みと苦しみと嘆きの中で、また鞭打たれる時にも入獄にも暴動にも労役にも徹夜にも断食にも、また純潔と知識と寛容と親切と聖霊と偽りのない愛と真理の言葉と神の力とにより、また左右の手に持っている義の武器により、また褒められたりそしられたり、悪評を受けたり好評を博したりすることによって、自分を神のしもべとして推薦しているのです。私たちは人を騙す者のように見えても真実であり、人に知られないようでもよく知られ、死にそうでも身を生きており、罰せられているようであっても殺されず、悲しんでいるようでもいつも喜んでおり、貧しいようでも多くの人を富ませ、何も持たないようでもすべてのものを持っています。
皆さんおはようございます。日本語よくできません。僕の名前はハザマです。日本語の名前はマサルです。お父さんの勝義と漢字同じ。お父さんの家族は和歌山から、お母さんの家族高知から。So I'm very happy to be here today, but 日本語学校行きましたけれど、いたずらことばっかりしました。日本語できません、今日。その後時、英語で一緒にお話しますね。すみません。But I'm very happy to be here today, and thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share the Lord's word with you. Thank you for taking care of Aki and Mandy.I know it's been a good transition and has its challenges the past year, but he's from the same area. He's born in Japan, but where we grew up, or I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, which is about 20 miles north of Los Angeles. Aki went to high school in the same area. So I've known him for a while and seen God work in his life. And so thank you for your encouragement of him and Mandy. And I just trust that God will continue to work in you and through you as you work together for the work of the gospel that God is doing here in Tucson. You know, I do have some connection with Arizona. I don't care for the Suns. I was talking to Wayne about basketball, but Laker fan, and he's the Celtics, just for the record. But my mother actually was born in Winslow, you know, which is, of course, you know better than me, the location north of here. And so she grew up there. Her parents had immigrated from, as I said, from Kochi. So there's that long-time connection that I have with Arizona. And I'm grateful for that. But very grateful for the work that God is doing here. And as Min had said in his opening call to worship, there is a connection with our church at San Fernando and the church here in Tucson. And just so grateful for the relationship that we've been able to have over these many years. And of course, Reiko Nishitani and Ryo, and of course, Inhyun Sensei, his family, they say Yoroshiku, and send their regards. And also grateful that over the past months, Mizoguchi Sensei and Kagiwara Sensei have also been able to spend some time with you. So I trust that God is continuing to encourage you and your ministry, and I hope that the words that I have today will also be encouraging for you as well. You know, this letter from 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, and I always appreciate the reading of Scripture that we had from Min and Junko at the beginning there. And as you know, Paul was called by God to be a pastor and a missionary. And in his letters to the various churches in the New Testament, he would often speak of, or not often, but sometimes would make reference to the many sorrows and the trials and the difficulties that he faced in his life and in his ministry. And this passage from 2 Corinthians describes many of those afflictions and things that he had gone through, you know, from being beaten to going hungry and struggling and through the many difficulties that came with his responsibility to be faithful to what God had called him to do. Sorrow was a reality for Paul, the one who was called to preach. But Paul also knew that God has his reasons for the sorrow that he suffered. And because of that, the outcome of his sorrow was rejoicing. So that's kind of the framework of today's message. The reality of sorrow, you know, that everyone has sorrow. The reasons for sorrow. There is a purpose that God has for sorrow. And thirdly, even in the midst of sorrow, there can be rejoicing. I did learn a few Japanese words through the years. One of them was shikata ga nai. You know, it can't be helped. And that's one that, you know, I would hear from my Issei, first generation grandmother. My mom would say it. And my grandmother, who again I mentioned, had come from Wakayama and settled in the San Fernando Valley. And her family, my dad and his brothers, and they have one sister, they were farmers. And they came to the United States, you know, at the beginning of the 1900s. But one of the tragic things that I found out later on was that she had to leave her oldest son in Japan for different reasons. And so they were separated. And those of you who are parents, you know, the pain of being separated from your child. And imagine being separated by an ocean. And back then, of course, there was no air travel. So if they wanted to see one another, it'd have to be this long, weeks-long boat ride from one coast to the other. And so I just can imagine my grandmother, how great sorrow she suffered and difficulties that she endured. But I think what was typical of her generation was to say, you know, shikata ga nai, you know, that's what has to be done. You know, they wanted to make a new life, a better life, by coming over to the United States. And so the situation was such that her eldest son had to be left there. And, you know, more sorrow came to my obacha, my grandmother. You know, her eldest son was in the Japanese Army during World War II. And then two of her other sons were in the U.S. Army. So basically, they were fighting against one another. And sadly, the son that was left in Japan, he was killed during the war. So I think about my grandmother, and I think about the many sorrows that she's gone through, and I appreciate her for all the wonderful character that I saw and observed in her life through the many years growing up. She was a very strong believer as well. But I'm sure for all of us, we have sorrows in our own lives. You know, as being a privilege to be a pastor, you know, you come face to face with many kinds of sorrows that people go through. You know, just doing a funeral a couple weeks ago, you know, over the past 3 months, we've done about six funerals. So being with a family when they say goodbye to a loved one, that's a very difficult thing. And many of you who've lost loved ones, you know, the sorrow and the sadness. And for your ministry here, there's a different kind of sorrow that comes with parting, and that's because, you know, you're the what they call the Eki Kyokai. You know, people just come here, a lot of students. immigrants who stay here for a time and then return home, and there's a sadness and there's a sorrow. I mean, you're glad for the time that you've had together and for all that God has accomplished, and you serve the Lord together as you worship Him together, but there's that sadness in being separated and saying goodbye to one another. So typically, we say shikata ganai in those times. You know, it's just part of life. We have to accept it and move on. And in this passage, Paul tells the Corinthians that he has lived through many sorrows, but he shares that not because he wants their pity. He's sharing that because he wants them to know that he's faced and lived through many sorrows, and it's further proof that he's been called by God to do the work of ministry. The fact that we go through sorrow and suffering is often God's way of working to make us more and more like Jesus. It's not a very pleasant or an easy process to go through, but we can be reminded of the words in Mark 8:34, Jesus' words. Let me read that. It says, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he, Jesus, said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Suffering and sorrow is the norm. It's what all Christians, if we really, truly want to follow after Jesus Christ, we will go through difficulties. We will suffer. Paul again mentions afflictions, hardships, beatings, imprisonment, sleeplessness, hunger. Yet he faced them with what he says was great endurance. And I hope that that's the attitude with which we can face the sorrows that come to us in each of our lives, in each of our families, but also face the sorrows and challenges that come to us as a church in the time of transition and adjustments that God takes you as JCCT through. And I know, you know, again, because that relationship that our churches have shared over the years, I know there have been challenges for you. And I'm so grateful that God has given you the grace to continue to be faithful to the point you have thus far, and I trust that He will continue to extend that grace to you. A second point, reasons for sorrow. The reality of sorrow, now the reasons for sorrow. You know, sometimes we don't understand why God allows difficult things to happen in our lives. And we don't know why and how God works in the way that He does. But at those times, He wants us to trust Him. And it's just wonderful to see the children around here. And we have to, as parents, make decisions that sometimes our children don't understand. But we know it's for their good. We know it's for their best. We know we're trying to build character and instill godly values in them. And that's what God does to each one of us who are His beloved children. He allows things to happen, and He disciplines us, as it says in Hebrews 12:4, for our good. But Paul, with all the sorrows that he had in his life, yet he's also able to speak of having purity, patience, and kindness. How was he able to have those qualities reflected in his life? How was he able to so confidently tell this church in Corinth that he is patient and he is kind? I think if we read on in verse 6, he talks about the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who changed him from the man who used to punish and persecute Christians to being God's mighty servant and mighty spokesman, the one who was willing to endure all these things for the sake of the gospel. It was the Holy Spirit that brought that change in Paul's life. In verse 7, he even speaks of the power of God. And his ministry, therefore, was not based on human effort or what a good leader he was or his dynamic personality. Paul was changed in and through those sorrows that God in His grace took him through. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to come through them and become more and more like Jesus, where he could even confidently say to the church, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's a tough thing to tell somebody to imitate you, behave as I do, because most of us are so aware of our sinfulness and our shortcomings. But Paul was at a point where he knew God was at work in his life and that they could see the grace and glory of God reflected through Paul because he had been changed and he had become more and more like Christ himself. But we too, as we allow God's Spirit to work in us and trust Him in the times of struggle and adjustment and difficulty, we too can be changed to exhibit these kinds of fruit of the Spirit. And I believe you folks have been going through a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. But let me just read from Galatians 5, 22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. Against such things there is no law. In addition, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified. And God uses His purification through the sorrows and suffering that we go through to do that work. And as I mentioned, my grandmother, Wachan, was a strong believer. And all of those things that she suffered and more, you know, being in the internment camps and going through times of difficulty with her children, you know, being, many of you know who have immigrated here from the United States, you know just the tremendous adjustment it is to go from one country to another and to be facing the cultural language, all of those challenges that come to anybody who immigrates from outside this country. And so all of these things my grandmother, she endured. Yet she was able to find so much comfort in being part of the church, you know, in the same way that all of you have gathered together, because you find JCCT to be a place of comfort, a place of gathering with God's people, a place to come close to God and fellowship and worship the living God together. And my grandmother found that same comfort amongst her fellow Iseis, her fellow immigrants who had come here from Japan, many of them also from Wakayama. And I remember this one image of her, and she was having some back problem, and one of her friends from church came to see her. And I just remember the two of them kind of running towards each other. They're probably in their 80s by this time and just embracing one another. And my grandmother just pouring out her heart in tears, and the other sister in Christ just, you know, hugging her and praying for her. And just seeing that they had, the both of them had gone through very similar sufferings in their lives, and both of them were so strong in their faith, and so both of them were so able to love and care for one another, to support one another just in a very heartfelt way. You know, I think that word is kokoro, just really deep down in their soul to love and support one another because they had gone through so much sorrow and suffering and they knew one another and what one another had gone through. And this is the kind of thing that suffering does in us. It humbles us and it causes us to have so much compassion for others. And my grandmother and all of her little Issei friends, they loved one another with a real genuine and deep love and support. And I hope that's something that GCCT can continue to grow in. But when I see in my mind those little group of old, retired, aging Nisei or Issei immigrants, that's my picture of what the church should be. You know, God has given me the blessing of being a part of many wonderful churches, including San Fernando, given me the blessing of being cared for by many pastors through the years, given me the blessing and privilege of going to seminary and learning about His Word through that means and now pastoring a church. But when I think of the church and what the church should be, that picture that still comes to mind is that little community of Issei believers, you know, very simple farmers who just loved one another with a deep love and care for Christ. So when I think about our small group ministry, when I think about what the church should be, that's the picture I have. And the closeness that they shared was because of so much sorrow that they went through. But sorrow that went from shikata ga nai, can't be helped, to a deep care and compassion and love for one another. And I hope that by God, by His Spirit, the power of His Spirit, will just continue to do that work in your hearts as you think about the many sorrows that you go through. And I'm sure many things come to mind as you think about the sorrows that you have suffered just in your own lives, in your own homes, and the struggles and challenges you faced as a church. God is doing something in your heart to knit you together as His people as a strong body of believers through whom he wants to do a good work here in this valley. Rejoicing in sorrow, the third thing. That sounds like such an odd thing, doesn't it, to be able to rejoice when you're going through a hard time, because that is not how we respond to sorrow. You know, there's another Japanese word I heard a lot, gaman. You know, then there's a good gaman where you're patient and you endure, and all of us need gaman. But there's also a gaman that you just deny, and you just say, well, again, it's related to shikataganai, it can't be helped. You say, well, that's the way life is. You know, there's nothing I can do, so I just have to bear down and just endure it patiently until somehow it passes or something changes. You know, as believers, there's a good gaman, but there's also a gaman where we don't have to pretend that sorrows don't exist or that we're not being affected by them. I hope that we can be like the Apostle Paul, sorrowful yet rejoicing. Those familiar words from Philippians 4:4, where he tells the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoicing always. It's a hard thing. How are we supposed to do that when I'm going through such a hard time? Well, Paul says it there. Rejoice in the Lord, not in our circumstances. You know, even in James 1, where James is talking about trials, he says, consider it a joy when you go through many trials, knowing that God is perfecting his work in us. It's considering it a joy, you know, not necessarily jumping up and down because we're happy that we're going through a hard time, but we can be joyful in the fact that God is doing something beyond what we see in ourselves. In the same way, we are looking at encouraging our children to be more like Christ and disciplining them with love, because there's something else we want to see in them. You know, dinner last night, I had the blessing of eating with Min and Evelyn and Tamaya, and also Noah was there. So I was chatting with Noah a little bit about football and how they have to get out there in the hot summer and practice, and it's crazy, you know. And why do they put themselves through such torture, especially in Tucson? It's hot enough where I come from, but it's even hotter here in the summertime. Well, that's because they see something beyond the discomfort of the training that they go through. They see that they want to be a team that's strong, that's ready to win and to do their very best for the team, for their school. And God does those things, and he takes us through the desert of struggle and trial and tribulation and sorrows and suffering, because he's doing something in our hearts, because he wants us to be a team as his church that's ready to go out there and score touchdowns for Jesus Christ, for his glory, to bring the gospel to those who not only live in the desert temperature-wise, but in the desert of their spiritual lives, where they don't know Jesus Christ. And you know, isn't it a miracle, those of you who know the history, I think most of you do, the history of this church, just how God started it from nothing, from one woman who had such passion, just such love. And God wants to, I mean, why would God do that? There's still something, wonderful things that he wants to accomplish through your church here. And as I think back, I'm grateful that this church has decided to continue to be faithful for as long as God gives you the resources and the breath. But be that player, that Noah kind of guy who's willing to go out there and work and train for what God has ahead for you. And take the tools and the blessings and the people, especially the people that he has given you, and work together for his glory, and do so with joy, because we have Jesus. Our joy can be in the Lord. So there is no, doesn't have to be shikataganai. It can't be helped. Instead, we should say, it has been helped. God has helped us already He has sent His Son. He has, and He will always be our help and hope when sorrows come our way. Amen. Jesus knows your sorrows and mine. The Bible says He's acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like to suffer, and He understands the sorrows that we experience. You know, we sang that song about Isaiah, and Isaiah describes Jesus as the man of sorrows. In 53:3 of Isaiah, it says, speaking prophetically of Jesus, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Jesus knows our sorrows because He was so despised by those who would crucify Him. Despised by a world who rejects what Jesus stands for and what He has done. But church, He understands your grief and your sorrow. And let Him come alongside you and comfort you and encourage you. Again, because He has something that He wants to do for you and in you and through you. He suffered on that cross so that we could know just how much God loves us. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates His love for us that while we were sinners, at the right time Jesus died for us. He sacrificed Himself for us so that we could be forgiven, so that He suffered the sin for our sin, so that God could see us with the righteousness that Christ displayed in His life and in His heart and in His ministry. And that's good news. That's something we can always rejoice in. And that's a joy that I challenge and encourage you, JCCT, to take out to that world around you. Because it is the good news. It is the living water of refreshment that those living in the spiritual desert need so much. May God bless you as you are faithful to Him. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You so much for our Lord Jesus. Thank You for sending Him to live among us. Thank You that He knows what it's like to be alone and deserted as the disciples forgot about Him. He knows what it's like to suffer pain. So, Father, I pray that each of Your blessed children here would draw near to You and be encouraged and allow You to touch their hearts and encourage them, Father. May they know the joy of the Lord in the midst of whatever sorrow You may be taking them through, and give them grace and hope to persevere, that they might see what You have awaiting for them as You pour out Your living water on each life, on each family, and upon this church. Thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy. We thank You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.